Rather ambitious. We're going to try to understand two of the greatest mysteries of all time. The question of the seeming contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will, as well as the mysterious nature of the Seer Lazazel. So, Be'ezras Hashem, let's see what we come up with. We start with the pasuk in which the Torah commands this mysterious mitzvah, V'hasa'ir, Asher Allah Lav Hagorah Lazazel Yamad Chai, Lefnei Hashem L'chaper Alav L'shalach Oso L'azazel Hamidbar. So first, let's just try to define what exactly this pasuk means. L'shalach Oso L'azazel Hamidbar. So Rashi says, Azazel, who har ayz v'kasha tzuk gavoha. So Azazel basically means a hard, rocky place. So you send this goat off to a hard, rocky place. The Ibn Ezra says, V'im yicholta lahavin hasod shehu achar milas azazel teda sodo v'sod shemo ki yesh lo chaverim b'mikra v'ani agala l'cha k'tzas hasod b'remez b'yoscha ben shloshim v'shalosh tedaehu. Says the Ibn Ezra, if you want to know this secret, you have to wait till you're 33. So we've all heard you have to wait till you're 40 to start learning Kabbalah. That's what the Shach says, some have the Minhag. So the Ben Ezra says you just have to wait till you're 33 and then I'll tell you the secret. So what exactly does this mean? This is a very strange concept. You have to wait till you're 33. That's okay. So what it means is, what it means is that you have to skip ahead 33 psukim. And if you skip 33 psukim from this pasuk, you will understand the secret of the Seir Mishtaleach. So what does it say 33 psukim later? The pasuk says, V'lo yizbechu od es zivcheihem la'seirim asherhem zonim achareihem chukas olam tiyu zos lahem ledorosam. So they shall no longer sacrifice to the seirim, to the goat demons, Asherhem zonim achareihem, that they lust after. So, what is the secret here? So apparently, there's some association with the Seir Lazazel and these Seirim that the Jewish people used to worship at that time. However, the Ibn Ezra does not fill us in too much on the details of this secret. He simply tells us that there is this association. So, we're now going to turn and focus on the position of the Ramban on this topic of the Seir Lazazel. And I will warn you that this Ramban is among the most perplexing Rambans in all of Torah. The Ramban seems to say something along the lines of the Seir Mishtaleach is a carbon to the Shaitan. When, in fact, someone first told me that the Ramban says that, I said, that can't be. That's Avodah Zarah. The Ramban doesn't think you should do Avodah Zarah. But then I actually looked at the Ramban, and it turns out that he was right. He did seem to be saying that. So how do we explain that? If you just take a look, sorry, I don't have enough source sheets. If you just take a look for comparison, can you make some more? Okay, great, thank you. If you take a look at the... I thought I put this here somewhere. Did I leave it out? Somewhere on the theoreticals. Oh, here it is. Yeah, the bottom source. Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik said about this Ramban, it's in from Al HaTshuva, according to Nachmanides, Azazel is Satan. This is a shocking idea. God help us. How could Nachmanides even suggest... We're out of source sheets, but they're making more. We should have them in a minute. How could Nachmanides even suggest such a thing? Surely to sacrifice a goat to Satan is idolatry. This is indeed a horrifying explanation of the word Azazel. So the Ramban, the Rav himself, makes a suggestion a little later on, and that's what we're going to try to work on today. But as I said, we have a tall task, because the notion that Azazel is Satan and that there's a sacrifice to Satan, all this seems to make no sense. It seems to go against the most essential tenet of the Torah, namely that the Torah prohibits idolatry, prohibits sacrifices to other forces, certainly demonic forces and the like. So let's see what we come up with. So the Ramban starts by citing a Bereishis Rabbah, which associates the Seir la'Azazel to Esav. Remember, the Pasuk describes Esav as Hein Esav Achi Ish Seir. So Pasuk associates Seir with Esav. Esav's a hairy man. And of course, the opposite figure of Yaakov is Esav, Yaakov reflecting good and Esav reflecting evil. And to prove this, the Ramban turns to the next source that we're going to see together, the Medrash of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. So let's read that together. Amar Samael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Al Kol Ovdei Kochavim Nasata Li Rishus, Ve'al Yisrael Einata Nosein Li Rishus. So Azazel is Samael. So Samael says, he complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you give me authority over all the other nations, or all the Ovdei Kochavim, but you don't give me authority over Yisrael. Amar lo, Hare yesh lecha rishus aleihem biyom HaKippurim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll tell you what, Satan, you have one day in which you have rishus over Yisrael. Im yesh lehem chet, if they have a chet, v'im lav, ein lecha rishus aleihem, then you have no rishus over them. Lefikach, nosnin lo shochad biyom HaKippurim. Because Satan has rishus over Yisrael on Yom HaKippurim, so it's important that we bribe the Satan to make sure that he doesn't get us. And how do we bribe him? Lefikach nosnim lo shochad biyom HaKippurim shelo levatel karban shel Yisrael shenemar goral achad laHashem vegoral achad laAzazel. Like is frequently the case when you try to explain the Perush of Sod on the Psukim oftentimes corresponds to the most literal reading of the Psukim, as it does here. Goral achad laHashem, one will go to Hashem and one will go to Azazel. It's not Lazazel as in to go to the place called Azazel, a rocky place like Rashi, but just like LaHashem is to is something, so too a karban, one of the karbanos is to Hashem and one of the karbanos is to Azazel. Goralo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu karban ola, and Goralo shel Azazel is the Seir HaChatas. V'chol avonosem shel Yisrael alav, shenemar v'nasa Seir es kol avonosam. So the sins of Klal Yisrael are on this Seir LaZazel. Ra sa'amael, shelo nimtza ba'am chet b'yom HaKippurim, amr lefan avibona shel olam, yesh lucha am echad ba'aretz, kimalach ha'asharis ba'shamayim. When Samael sees that in fact the Jewish people have no sins, so he admits to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Jewish people are one, singular, and sinless. Just like the angels, they too have no sins. Ma malachi asharis nekiyim mikol chet, af Yisrael nekiyim mikol chet b'yom HaKippurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shomea idusan shel Yisrael min hakategor shelahem. The very accuser, Satan, Samael, that accuser, when he admits that we are innocent, we're free from sin. So case closed. Umechaper al mizbeach v'al mikdash v'al hakohanim v'al kol hakahal shenemar v'chiper es mizbach hakodesh v'gomer v'omer ki biyom hazeh yichaper lechem letahar eschem mikol chatoseichem lefnei Hashem titaru. So ad kan the this baffling source is Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, but in fact we see that the Ramban didn't make it up. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar seems to say explicitly, okay, there are more sheets, thank you so much. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says that the Azazel is Satan, and this is actually a karban to Satan, to Azazel, in order to somehow placate him and thereby achieve atonement to Klal Yisrael, for Klal Yisrael. Okay, so the Ramban associates Satan with the forces of evil, of war, of destruction, and this force, as we'll see in the Ramban, takes on many guises. So on earth, the Ramban, we'll see in a moment, says it's associated with the desert, harsh place. In the celestial realm, it's associated with Mars, because Mars is red, it corresponds to bloodshed. In the angelic realm, it's associated with Samael, who is an angel. The Zohar refers to this as the Sitra Achra, the other side, meaning to say the opposite side of Kedusha. And here we see the Ramban say, and he says it in other places as well, that there's a certain type of power to Samael, to the Satan. In fact, the Ramban writes that when non-Jews serve idolatry, they are, in a certain sense, worshipping real and powerful beings. The Ramban writes in Dvarim, in Parak Dalet Pasuk Tes Vav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was cholek the different things lahem, to them, but not to us. And basically, the way the Ramban understands that Pasuk is that there are certain types of ministering angels that have control over the fate or the destiny of the various different nations, but not so with respect to Klal Yisrael. With respect to Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides us and directs us directly.
Do these ministering angels have some sort of discretion in how they do their things, or are they purely robots?
That's what we're going to see. That's what we're going to work on right now. And I guess you're raising an important distinction, which is that the question we have to consider is, do these other powers, do they have any independent power or not? Oh, so now let's turn to the Ramban. And start from the beginning. V'zeh sod ha'inyan ki hayu ovdim le'lohim achirim heim ha'malachim osim lahem karbanos v'heim lahem l'reach nichoach kinyan shenemar v'samani v'katarti nasata lefnehem k'torasi nasati lehem v'lachmi asher nasati l'cha solas v'shemen v'dvash hachalticha v'nasatihu lefnehem l'reach nichoach v'hinoam Hashem alehem. So even though the Torah banned idolatry and prohibited any service to these forces, again, the forces exist, but it banned their service, at least for Jews. However, on Yom HaKippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, we should send them a Seir. Seir, because that's associated, right? Seir is, that's the association of the manifestation of that power. Like we said, Seir from the Bereishis Rabbah is Keneged Esav. And we're going to send it to the Sar HaMoshel B'Makor Bos HaChorban, again, because that's their place. V'hu Aroi Lo, Mipneshu be'alav ume atzilus kocho yavo chorev v'shmamon. So from the emanations of that power comes destruction. Kihu ha'ila l'kochvei ha'cherev, because it is the source of the power of the kochvei ha'cherev, v'adamim, v'amilchamos, v'amirivos, v'apitzayim, v'amakos, v'apirud, v'achorban. Perhaps if we have time at the end, the Ramban alludes here to a very interesting question, which is, does evil really exist? The Pasuk says famously in Yeshayahu, Yotze Or? Right. So we say, Vore Esakol. Yotze Or, Vore Choshech, Ose Shalom, Vore Esakol. That's what we say in davening, but that's not what the actual Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, Vore Esara. I'm sorry? Vore Ra. Thank you. So what does that mean? So what it might mean is these forces. If we have time, we'll get back to that pasuk. Vaklal nefesh legalgal mandim. Right? So like we said, that in the celestial realm, it refers to the koach of Mars, madim, the chelko min ha'umos hu esav, and the manifestation of this koach among nations is esav, Shu Am Hayoresh Acherev Al Mochamos, and that is the nation that fights wars and the like. Umina Behemos Hasirim Vaizim. And again, the manifestation of this koach in the realm of animals is the seir, is the goat. Uvachalka od hashedim hanikraim mazikim b'lashon Rabbeinu. In this chelak is also the shedim, the mazikim, as Chazal refer to them. Uvalashon hakasuf seirim, right? So he's a. This is the 33 remez that we saw in Ibn Ezra, right? That this is referring to the seirim. Kichen yikrahu v'umaso seir. Okay. So now, what's going on? Right now, it seems like we're doing Avodah Zarah on Yom Kippur. One time a year, you're allowed to do Avodah Zarah. It's almost like Sebastian, you know? On Yom Kippur, we're going to do the biggest affair as possible. Chas v'shalom. V'ein ha-kavana b'seir ha-mishtaleach sheyiyah korban me'itanu elav chalila aval shetiyah kavanasenu lasos ritzon boro shetzivanu kach. Boreinu, thank you. Boreinu shetzivanu kach. When we bring this karban to the, when we bring this karban to the to Samael, so our intent is not to actually serve him as we serve God. Rather, we're doing this because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do so. And here we go back to Chazal's understanding of what Satan is. Satan is a figure that appears in Tanakh, for example, in the book of Iov, and in Chazal. Who exactly is a Satan? So if you take a look for a moment at the top source on page 2, the Gemara in Bava Basra, Amar Reb Yitzchak, Kasha Tzaro Shel Satan Yoser Mishel Iov. Even though the Satan, of course, is the figure that triggers the pain of Iov by challenging a god, saying that Iov would cave under pressure. He really isn't so righteous, not what he seems. But the Satan isn't doing it because he's malicious. He's not doing it because he enjoys seeing Iov or anybody else wither in pain. No. In fact, the pain that the Satan experienced watching Iov was even worse than the pain that Iov himself experienced. And the Gemara continues and compares this to an Eved, Lifnei Rabbo, and if we skip to the end, Amar Rabbi Levi, Satan upnina l'shem shamayim niskavnu. Satan in Sefer Iov was miskavin l'shem shamayim. The Satan is, sorry, we're on the top of page 2. The Satan, like all the other angels, is a servant of God who's doing his job serving God. He's not a fallen angel. He doesn't contend with God as the Christians imagine. On the contrary, as we'll see in a moment, he joins God's banquet. His job, his role, is to act as the prosecutor. And just like Lahavdil, the United States government will frequently, in a criminal trial, pay for the prosecuting attorney as well as the defense attorney. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu supports the Kategor and the Sanegor. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs assistance in the first place is a very good question. Not for now. That's a general question. What purpose do angels serve? Either the Kategor or the Sanegor or any of the angels. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to be manhig the world through angels, as opposed to doing everything directly? Very important and interesting question, but not for now. For now, we're going to assume that there's some role and value in angels. And angels, all angels, including Satan, including Samael, are servants of God. And just like in our analogy, the U.S. government pays for the salary of both the prosecutor, the attorney general, as well as the defense attorney, if the criminal can't afford his own attorney, because the U.S. government sees it in its interest to make sure people get a fair trial, and to ensure that there's a fair trial, you need a prosecutor, and the prosecutor is told to prosecute to the best of his ability, and you also need a defense lawyer, and the defense lawyer is told to defend the criminal, or the suspected criminal to the best of his ability, so too, kaviyachol, there's a role for both Satan, Samael, the prosecutor, the accuser, as well as those that defend us. And when you look at the liturgy in Rosh Hashanah and in Yom Kippurim, you certainly see this theme come back again and again. The angels, some of whom defend us, some of whom prosecute us, Hasha, Kategor, Vasa, Sane, all these things are referring to this idea. So the Ramban continues. The Hamashal Bezeh, ki kemisha asa se'uda l'adon, v'tziva hadon es ha'ish ha'oseh ha'seuda, ten mana achas la'avdi ploni. She'ena osa se'uda nosin klum le'eved ha'hu, v'lo l'chvodo, ya'se'imo, rak ha'kol nasan la'adon, v'ha'adon nosin pras la'avdo. V'shamar ze mitzvaso, v'asa l'chvod ha'adon kol asher tzivahu. So what's going on? Imagine a king, a wealthy person makes a party, and he tells someone, go give a portion, go give something to such and such person. So when he gives it to such and such person, he's doing so because he was told by the king to do so. So too, when we give a chelek to Samael on Yom Kippurim, when we bring this Seir La'azazel, when we bring, as it were, we give the shochad, we bring a karban to Satan on Yom Kippurim, we are simply fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. We're doing his mitzvah. It's not that Samael's independent power, but for some reason, and Ramban hasn't told us yet what the reason for this is, and why we would be doing this on Yom Kippur. But for some reason, that's what we're supposed to do on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a big seuda, and he tells us, go ahead and give a karban, give a chelek, give a portion to Samael. And that's what the Seir La'azazel is. Samael exists. It is a real existent. He too is an Eved of Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to give him something, to placate him. V'amnam ha'adon l'chemlaso al ba'al ha'suda ratza shiyu kol avadav nenem imena shiyisaper b'shvacho v'lo b'gnuso. Why is it? So here Ramban begins to allude to the answer of why we do this on Yom Kippur. Yom HaKippurim is equivalent to a grand feast. And just like the king wishes that all of his avadim attend this grand feast and participate in the grand feast and enjoy the grand feast, so too, in the grand feast of Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Samael to participate and have a portion, and that's the mitzvah of Seir La'azazel. Ad kan haRamban. So I'd like to try to explain this a little better, based off of a piece from Reb Tzadok. Reb Tzadok, in fact, explains this Ramban. And Reb Tzadok here is dealing with the age-old question of the seeming contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will. How is it that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future, we can still freely choose to do what we wish? It would seem, at first glance, that if God knows what we are going to choose in the future, then in fact we are not free to choose otherwise. And this question has many answers. There are some Rishonim, like Rasag and Rivash, who think that this seeming contradiction is nothing other than a logical fallacy. There is, in fact, logical compatibility between free will and divine foreknowledge. God knows in the future the choice that we will freely choose. The Rambam famously says that the solution to this problem lies in recognizing that there's a difference between divine knowledge and human knowledge. While it's true that perhaps human foreknowledge would in fact contradict freedom, God's knowledge, which is not external to himself but inherent, does not preclude the possibility of free will. Others answer very simply that the whole question is based off of the false presumption that God exists within time and limited, and is limited and bound by time. To refer to God as knowing something in the future is simply false, because God is not limited or bound by time. So there are many answers to this question. There are some that accept the contradiction and limit either foreknowledge or free will, Rabbi Okreskes and the Ralbag. So we're going to turn to the answer of Reb Tzadok. And Reb Tzadok cites the answer of the Arizal in Sefer Arba Meo Shekel Kasef. And let's read what Reb Tzadok has to say about this, because in his explanation, in his resolution to this problem, he's going to explain to us the idea in this Ramban. And why is it that specifically on Yom Kippur we offer this Karban to Samael, to the Satan? Yeah.
Who are the two that limit free will or limit...
Rabbeinu Kreskes and the Ralbag. Yeah, Chasdei Kreskes.
And what does he say? He says he limits free will, or...
He limits free will, and Ralbag seems to limit foreknowledge. But all that's for another time. Okay, now let's start with Reb Tzadok. Ikur hatshuvahu ad shiyayir Hashem einenu sheyuz donos kizchuyos. So Ramban begins by analyzing this statement. We're on, again on page 2, where it says Reb Tzadok according to Lublin, Tzidkas HaTzadik Osmem. Reb Tzadok begins by referring to the famous Gemara, which states that if a person does tshuva me'ava, so then zdonos nasos kizchuyos. And the question here, of course, is why? I understand that total tshuva could wipe away my sin. Kadosh Baruch Hu forgives me, he pardons me, but in what way do my zdonos turn into a zchuyos? Why should my aveira be a mitzvah? Why should it be that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calculating my zchuyos, he adds up not just my mitzvos, but even my aveiros? Why should that be? So there are different explanations. Some say that if a person grows through the experience of the aveira after doing tshuva, so then that too becomes part of him. But let's see what he's going to say. Why is it that zdonos, that aveiros, turn into zchuyos? So the Ikar Tshuva is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meir Einav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows him to see a certain reality that allows his donos to turn into zchuyos. Ratzalomar, Shiyakir v'yavin shekol ma shechata haya gam kein biratzon Hashem yisborach. Whoa. A person realizes when they do tshuva me'ava that even that which they sinned was Ratzon Hashem. Kimosha Amruzal, Shlosha Psukim Vahule, Vaata Sebosa Slibam, Vaata Harosi Vahule. So Reb Tzadok has a very high estimation of his readers, and he has lots of Vahules. But the Gemara here that he's quoting is a Gemara in Brachos. We'll actually take a look at the actual Gemara so we don't have to deal with the Vahules, which is at the bottom of page 2, going on to page 3. The Gemara says, "Vam Rabbi Elazar, Eliyahu hitiach dvarim klape mala. Eliyahu spoke insolently towards God. Shenamar, as it says, v'ata hasebos libam achoranis. For you turned their hearts backwards." Meaning to say, Eliyahu blamed HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the sinfulness of Klal Yisrael. Eliyahu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's your fault. It's true they sinned, but it was you who did it. Ata, you God, hasebosa es libam achoranis. Amar Rebbe Shmuel bar Rebbe Yitzchak, minayin tachazar HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'hoda lo l'Eliyahu. Taka, Eliyahu is right. How do we know that? Dechsiv v'hasher herosi. The pasuk says, whom I have wronged, meaning I caused them to sin. Rabbi Chama, top of page 3. Rabbi Chanina, ilmole shalosh mikros halalu nismotetu raglan shel sonei Yisrael. We're not for these three psukim that show that God is responsible for our sinfulness. So the enemies of the Jewish people, meaning us, it's a euphemism, we would have been weakened. We would have slipped. What are these three psukim? Chad dechsev asher harasi v'chad dechsev hine kechomer biyad hayotzer kein atem biyadi beis Yisrael. Right. So it's not the way it's used in the song on Yom Kippur. Ki hine, right. No, that's not what it means. It means that we're chomer biyad hayotzer. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes us sin. V'chad dechsev v'asirosi aslev ha'even mibsarchem v'nasati lachem lev basar. Rav Papa Amar Mehacha Vesruchi Atein Bekir Bechem Vasisi Es Asher Bechukai Teilecho. Now these psukim are in fact very problematic. What does it mean? Kadosh Baruch is responsible for our sinfulness? So if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam cites these psukim as proof for his position that there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardens a person's heart and takes away their freedom. That's the Rambam's explanation for the story in Yetzias Mitzrayim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened Paru's heart. And the Rambam says that there are times that a person can sin to such a degree that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away their free will so that they will be punished. Of course, they're not held responsible for the sins that they commit without freedom. We're only held responsible for any sins that we do freely. But there are times that free will is taken away. That's the view of the Rambam. Others reject that. Many claim that free will is never taken away, but that's the view of the Rambam, and that's how the Rambam explains these psukim. So, according to the Rambam, Eliyahu was saying that during his generation, the generation of Eliyahu, the Jewish people were so sinful that at a certain point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away, at least to some degree, their freedom and prevented them from doing tshuva. Another time we could talk about this, what the Rambam means and what hardening heart means and the like. But for now, let's turn to Reb Tzadok's explanation. Reb Tzadok seems to understand this not as the exception, as Rambam claims, but as the rule, which in a certain sense is actually the simple reading of the Gemara. So what does this mean? What does this mean? How could this be? So let's go back to Reb Tzadok after all the v'chuleis. Uketam Yediyah u'bechira. Like this contradiction between yediyah, meaning foreknowledge, and bechira, free will, shebir harizal b'sof sefer arba meo shekel kasef, sheshneim emes, kol echad b'makom b'fnei atzmo. B'makom ha'bechira, sham ein makom liyediyah. U'b'makom ha'yediyah, sham ein makom le'bechira. So, Arizal is trying to deal with the question of the contradiction between foreknowledge and free will. And he answers the following. He cites the Ari, who says, "B'makom ha'bechira sham ein makom liyediyah." The place, we'll have to define what place means, but in the place of bechira, there is no yediyah. In the place of freedom, there is no foreknowledge. "U'b'makom ha'yediyah sham ein makom le'bechira." And in the place of foreknowledge, there is no bechira. This is actually a paraphrasing of what the Ari actually says. If you want to see the complete text, it's on footnote 1 on page 3. But for now, we'll focus on what the small summary of Reb Tzadok. What does the Ari mean? So to understand the Ari, we have to introduce certain Kabbalistic terminology, which Ein Lanu Esek V'Nestarim, and I don't really understand this myself, but without getting into too much details, in the world of Sod, there are four worlds. There's the Olam HaAtzilus, the Olam HaBriya, the Olam HaYetzira, and the Olam HaAsiya. The Olam HaAsiya is the world of action, what we physically do on this world. Above that is Yetzira, above that is Bria, and above that is Atzilus. What does Atzilus mean? Atzilus is oftentimes translated as emanation, like in the Pasuk, Vayerid Hashem ba'anan, Vayedaber elav vayeyatzel min haruach asher alav, Vayiten al shivim ish. So that's sometimes translated as emanation. Others translate Atzilus as close, like Eitzel Hashem. And that's really what the Olam Atzilus is. The Olam Atzilus is Ki'ilu, the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is not a tangible being, and there's no such thing as an olam that's closest to him and the like. What it means is that we have no capabilities of understanding God as he is, of relating to or understanding his essence, the Ein Sof. We as finite, limited creatures can't possibly relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he truly is. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does allow us to relate to him on multiple levels. And though in a certain sense these aren't true, they're not accurate, but that's how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how we develop a relationship with him. And in fact, we're charged with understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent that we possibly can. And this is an idea that everybody agrees to. The Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim also says that there's a mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem, also in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah and Mishneh Torah and Sefer Mitzvos and the like. There's a mitzvah to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent that possible, and of course it's impossible to fully understand it, but nevertheless, to the extent that we can, we must. We should try. Now, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets the various olamos relate to a truer and truer conception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me explain a little bit. Within the lower worlds, the olam of Maisa, and really even Bria and Asiya, there are contradictions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness. What do we mean that there's contradictions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness? It means that when we look at the world, we see things that contradict God's oneness. We see evil. We see the good triumph over evil. We see injustice. We see a world in which there seems to be frequently a direct correlation between cause and effect, and teva and the like. Just like the pasuk says, "Vayom ahu Yashem echad u'shmo echad." On that day, HaKadosh Baruch will be one. What do you mean? He's not one now? We say he's one. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one now. But now, when we look at the world, we don't always perceive that oneness. There are a lot of things that we see in the world that seem to contradict HaKadosh Baruch Hu's true oneness. Vayom ahu, even that will be perceivable. In the Olam HaAtzilus, which, as we said, is a higher realm, a truer realm, something closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so no such contradictions exist. That is an Olam, and someone who views our world from that perspective is someone who recognizes and internalizes the concept of Ein Od Melvado, that in fact there is nothing besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing besides Ratzon Hashem. Ein Od Melvado. Let me refer to a Gemara that you might be familiar with, which will help concretize this principle. The Gemara in Sanhedrin reports that Rabbi Hanina, it's not on your source sheets, Rabbi Hanina said, Ein od novado v'afilu l'dvar l'kshafim, l'dvar k'shafim. Kishuf, again, now is not the time to explain what kishuf is, but kishuf is a means by which a person can somehow subvert the divine will using certain powers. Just like there's an Olam HaTeva, above the Olam HaTeva there's another Olam. And just like you could use Teva to, as it were, subvert the divine will in a certain sense, right? You could kill someone. So a person could tap into these kochos and also subvert the divine will. And it's above, it's even more powerful. So kishuf is a real thing. And accordingly, the Gemara says, a person should be careful, be wary of mechashvim, because they could harm you. However, the Gemara says that Rabbi Hanina wasn't worried about mechashvim. He wasn't bothered by them. He wasn't nervous. The Gemara says, why not? Was he such a big tzaddik? He didn't have to worry about kishuf? So the Gemara says, no, that's not the pshat. The pshat is that Rabbi Hanina internalized the idea of Ein Od Melvado. And the Nefesh HaChaim explains what this means is as follows. If a person realizes the truth, and the truth is, there's nothing besides Ratzon Hashem. Ein od milvado. There's nothing besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then these forces can have no effect on him. These forces gain their potency from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you realize that these forces are not independent, but are simply also coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because in fact, in truth, ein od milvado, then these forces could have no effect upon you. Nefesh HaChaim says the same thing is even true with respect to Teva, with the forces of Teva. So now's not the time to get into it, but even the forces of Teva can't have an effect on a person if they've internalized the truth of ein od milvado. There are famous stories about the Skarav escaping during the Holocaust, how when he was in times of danger, he concentrated on the truth of ein od milvado and was miraculously saved. And in fact, this is the school of the Nefesh HaChaim. So let's go back to the Ari and Reb Tzadok. Reb Tzadok is saying like this. In reality, ein od milvado. In reality, there's nothing but Ratzon Hashem. Which in fact means that even the Averos that I've done are Ratzon Hashem. Because ein od milvado. There's nothing besides Ratzon Hashem. And if a person could realize that and internalize that, so then they too become Zchuyos. Because they too are Ratzon Hashem. Just like mitzvos are Ratzon Hashem, so too Averos are Ratzon Hashem. Now this is very dangerous, because then you could justify just about anything and say, oh, it's Ratzon Hashem. And in fact, in another place, Reb Tzadok says, this was the chait of what Elisha ben Avuya did, and this is what the Mekoshesh did. They all made this mistake. And it's only true retrospectively, not prospectively. Let me explain a little bit. This is a very hard idea to understand. Let's give a mashal. Let's say a person goes ahead, and they take a math test, and they flunk. And they say, ah, it's Ratzon Hashem! Ein od milvado, there's nothing but Ratzon Hashem. Great, okay, so they're right. So the next time they study really, really hard and they ace it, and they say, ah, studied so hard, that's why I got an A. And that's right, there was probably a correlation in that sense. They were also right. Had they not studied hard the second time, they probably would have flunked again. But that person doesn't really believe in ein od milvado. Both statements are correct. And that's what the Ari is saying. There's Yediya and there's Bechira. And they're two on two different realms. On one realm, there's Bechira. That's this world. That's the world we live in. We have free choice and we freely choose. All the time we're struggling between right and wrong. Sometimes we go one way, sometimes we go the other way. And that freedom is for real. That's on one level. But there's another level. If you look at the world from the perspective of the Olam Atzilus, so then ein od milvado, when everything is really Ratzon Hashem. Now, internalizing that is not simple. Let's go back to the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara said Rabbi Hanina really believed in ein od milvado. And this was something that was clearly seen as extraordinary. The other Chachamim didn't reach this level. They said, Rabbi Hanina, what are you doing? What you're doing is reckless. Because if a person has not truly internalized the idea, the notion, the reality that ein od milvado, then in fact, the Mechashvim will have the koach to harm him. Just like Teva will have the koach to harm such a person. And that's why Tshuva Me'ava is so extraordinary. It's clear from the Gemara that Tshuva Me'ira, that's pretty hard. That involves Aziva Sachet and Kabbalah Haba and v'chule, right? Tshuva Me'ira is quite difficult. And in Tshuva Me'ira, so we're forgiven, but we don't use donos nasos chuyos. Tshuva Me'ava is when a person reaches a level where he's truly internalized and comes to the absolute belief that ein od milvado, like Rabbi Hanina. And if someone comes to that belief, that hakara, that even their averos were Ratzon Hashem, meaning to say he didn't really commit them freely, he can see the world on that level of atzilus. So then, he's forgiven. Not only is he forgiven, but his averos are Ratzon Hashem, so there's chuyos. Now, we said before, there's a danger, you could justify anything. But someone who is at that level, someone who's truly internalized and believes the idea of ein od milvado, could never sin in the first place, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him not to do it, he would never do it. That's what Reb Tzadok is saying. So, he says, going back to where we are, Ukshemasig leorze haatzum as shavu kolz donosav bilti yotzim meomek yediyas Hashem yisborach v'hu v'daito ritzono hakol echad. Umeachar Shehashem Yisbarach Ratza Kein, Harei Hakol Zchuyos, V'zocha L'kapar Gemura Shebiyom HaKippurim, Shezesod Haseir L'Azazel, She'ilo Asuhu Ha'adam Atzmo, Haya Oved Avodazar Gamor V'hulo Yiyah. If a person were on his own to bring the Seir L'Azazel, that's Avodah Zar Gemura, a carbon to the Satan. Shehu Yisod Kol HaMitzvah Slo Saaseh. He'd be violating the very root that's behind every single mitzvah Slo Saaseh. V'chol Averos V'asaros Miratzon Hashem Yisbarach. Rak. Shaseir Hu Al Yidei Ratzon Hashem Yisbarach Shehu Mitzave L'Sholcho Lo Nase Od Mitzvah V'Zlo Avera. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it, it's a mitzvah. V'chein Pirshu Chazal V'ayin Ramban Parshas Acharei Sha'anu nosin chelak la'azazel shu'ara mitzad ma'asha Hashem Yisbarach tziva la'aseis lo v'nimtza aver mitzvah v'chulei, meaning the Ramban we saw. So now he's told us an unbelievable pshat in this Ramban. What's the pshat in the Ramban? The pshat in the Ramban, why is it on Yom Kippur and we bring this year la'azazel? Why is it that we serve Satan on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year? Why this day? Because remember, what did the Ramban say? The yesod of the Ramban is that the Seir L'Azazel comes from acknowledging that Satan, that Azazel, that the Sitra Achra are all Avadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Avodah on Yom Kippurim is to realize Ein Od Milvado. And if a person realizes Ein Od Milvado, so then Zdo Nosav, Nasos Chu Yosav. The rest of the year, we look at the world and we see forces that are contrary to Achdus Hashem, and we can't really live our lives from the perspective of Atzilus, from the perspective that there is nothing but God. We live in a world of Asiya, of Bria, of Yetzira, where there's Bechira. But on Yom HaKippurim, our job is to reach a more elevated state in which we see the truth that Ein Od Milvado, that everything is Ratzon Hashem, that there's nothing besides Him. And how do we show that? How do we demonstrate our belief that there's nothing besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We go ahead and we turn to the force that the rest of the year seems to be antagonistic to God and goodness. And we bring a carbon to it. And we show that it too is an Eved Hashem. We invite Satan to our Suda. That is the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim. And with this, we could understand another perplexing thing that many people wonder about, which is, why is it that on Rosh Hashanah, if it's the Yom HaDin, we spend so much time being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu without actually focusing on Tshuva and Kapara and Slicha and Mechila? But perhaps the answer is very simple. Because if our goal is to reach that elevated plateau on Yom HaKippurim, when a person recognizes Ein Od Milvado, so then we have to get there. We can't just show up on Yom Kippur and say, Ein Od Milvado. The Avodah of Rosh Hashanah is to internalize Malchus Hashem, to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rishonim already point out, the Ramban, the Ran, that Rosh Hashanah is in fact a preparation for Yom HaKippurim. And if so, our Avodah of Rosh Hashanah, according to this Mahalach, would be to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to try to prepare ourselves by understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the proper context, that He is the Melech, that there is none besides Him. And if we could do that, then we can reach this Avodah on Yom Kippurim of Zdonos Nasus Chuyos. We have a couple more minutes. I'd like to see another reflection of this idea, maybe because it's so hard, to little more palatable, from Rav Kook. Rav Kook was very much influenced by Reb Tzadok. Reb Tzadok was very influential in almost all of the great Baalei Machshava of the 20th century, Rav Kook and Rav Huttner and Rav Moshe Shapiro, all the, you see a lot of Rav Gedalia Shor, many others. And we'll see here this piece from Orot HaTshuva, in which Rav Kook basically says this idea, but makes it a very important clarification, which I think fundamentally Reb Tzadok agrees to if we get a chance to see the last source. Echad mehayisodo shel hatshuva b'machshavto shel adam hu hakara achrayos shel haadam al ma'asav. The foundation of tshuva is accepting responsibility. That, in fact, is what tshuva is all about. That's why the Rambam puts Hilchos Tshuva in, puts the discussion of free will in Hilchos Tshuva. Tshuva is all about accepting responsibility, acknowledging that we are the source of the decisions we made. And once we accept that responsibility, then we could do tshuva. Hu akaras achrayos shel ha'adam al ma'asav, sheba mitoch emunas habechira hachafshe shel ha'adam. Uvizehu mevarer la'atzmo es chofesh ritzono ve'otzem yichalto al sidrei chayav u'masav. And with this, a person accepts and is clarified the fact that he is in fact the owner of his destiny, and his choices are going to determine his path. Umitoch kach u'mefane lefanav es haderech lashuv el Hashem. And once he accepts responsibility for his actions, so he's cleared away the path to return to God, L'chadeshes chayav b'seder hatov, and to restore and renew his life in a good manner. B'acharei ha'yediyah ha'behira, she'ha'she'ela al davar shnei hafachim b'nosei achad, hira tchuna yachasit lanu, l'gabei sichlenu ha'mugbal, ve'ena shayaches klal b'cheik ha'borei kol, adon kol achukim, v'sibas kol asibos, Mekor chachma ubone atfunos, hatfuna baruchu, hinenu nechonim lahavin sheyesh makom gam lahashkafa shel bechiraso shel hadam v'chufsho, v'gam l'ibechiraso v'ichufsho. So here Rav Kook is alluding to that passage that we saw from the Arizal. The truth of the matter is, Rav Kook writes, that God is not bound by logic. This, in fact, is a debate among the Rishonim. Many Rishonim assumed that he was, the Rambam, the Rashba even. Rav Kook assumes that he was not. Logic is a human construction, or it's true in this world, or in this universe, but it's not a necessary truth. And therefore, the contradiction between foreknowledge and free will is only a contradiction from our perspective. V'adrarim nimshachim mikol haramazim shebehavaya. Ach kol zman shelo shav el ha'adam echeto, lo sider lo es orchos tshuvaso, harei hu munach tachas ha'sevel shel bechiraso, v'ashama shel kol ma'isav. So until he does tshuva, he's shackled by the burden of free will. V'chol totzo sehem hara'os mutalos alav. Amnam, acharei ha'aras ha'tshuva, miyad nimtsarim l'mafreya, kol ha'migra'os shebechayav. After one has done tshuva, then retroactively, there's a new perspective on his whole life where he didn't actually have free will. You have to acknowledge your free will to do tshuva, but once you've done tshuva, then you'll see that you didn't have free will. This is what Rav Tzadok referred to earlier as being Hashem Meir Einav. It's not so much, according to Rav Kook, that when you realize Ein Od Milvado, when you realize that Yarveris HaRatzon Hashem, then you do tshuva me'ava. It's rather when you do tshuva me'ava, then you'll recognize retroactively that which you did was also Ratzon Hashem. The kulam ne'arachim michutz liyisod chufsho bechiraso, and the sins that he did were actually done without his freedom. Umitztarfim heim l'rishus ha'anhaga al yona rishus ha'gavoa shel kol ma'asenu po'elas, and that's why stonosav are nasus chuyosav. In other words, it's not that when a person recognizes, oh, my averos that I did are Ratzon Hashem, that they've done tshuva me'ava. It's fakert. When a person goes ahead and accepts responsibility for their choices and recognizes that these choices were made freely and repents, as we always refer to in repentance, charata and aziva and kabbalah, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be meyer that in truth they were done without bechira. But that could only be accomplished when you accept the bechira. And Reb Tzaduk makes this point explicitly in the next source, which we won't read together because we don't have time, and it's also very, very shocking. I'll say that, so maybe you'll look at it on your own. So that's the yesod of tshuva. So, to draw some practical conclusions from this whole piece, what does this mean for us? So number one, what we said before, that our avod on Rosh Hashanah being mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all part of understanding the true nature of the world, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech, and we are avadim, and there's nothing but Ratzon Hashem. And that's what we're supposed to do on Rosh Hashanah, and that will help us bring us to a level where we could do and receive Kapar and Yom Kippur. And second of all, what Rav Kook is saying here, which is that even if all this is true, and Rav Kook clearly believes that it is true, the first step of tshuva is still recognizing that we are responsible for actions and accepting responsibility for our actions. And if a person doesn't do that, then they can't reach this elevated and lofty level of tshuva. In fact, it might be true that there are certain things that are beyond a person's freedom. And on a deeper plane of reality, everything is Ratzon Hashem. But to the extent that a person focuses on that, that will actually inhibit their ability to do tshuva. To do tshuva, first and foremost, you have to accept responsibility. You have to acknowledge that, in fact, we are free. And we are. And once one does that, so then tapping into this deeper and truer reality becomes possible. But if you try to skip the step, so, as Rav Kook says, and Rav Tzaduk in the next source as well, it all will not work. So on that note, I want to wish you all a ksiva v'chasima tova, a good gebenst yar. Should all be zolcha to do tshuva, both tshuva meyira, and then ultimately reach this madrega of tshuva me'ava, where our zonos will turn into zchuyos.
Are you familiar with the Ishbitzer on Pinchas?